Sunday, the 1st of July. Haworth, as I have said, is a hole. Its main street is paved with flags of irregular size and is about a mile long and at an angle of about 1 in 6. The middle is lower than the two ends, but that only adds to the difficulty in negotiating it. I got out of it as quickly as possible this morning and climbed over the moor to Hebden Bridge. Not a bad spot until you get into it. Then I struck the tram lines, about 20 miles of them round Halifax, Elland and through Huddersfield. From Huddersfield I worked my way via the main Sheffield Road round to Midhope Stones and retraced my route of last Monday back to Ashopton and put up there for the night. After supper I learnt that a dam is to be constructed across the valley and that the villages of Ashopton and Derwent will be under water when it is finished in about 5 years' time. This is a great pity, for the valley of the Derwent, and particularly this end, is one of the prettiest dales in Derbyshire. Monday, the 2nd of July. I didn't set off today before 10:30 and took the road down to Banford, soon after which I turned right through Castleton on the Chapel Enlifrith Road, but after climbing up past the Shivering Mountain and the Blue John Caves, I turned off through Sparrow Pit and to Buxton, where I had lunched. From Buxton I climbed over the border and descended into Leek, whence I took the road to Stone. The country from here on was mostly of a flat nature, and it seemed strange after so much walking uphill that I could go for more than 5 miles at a stretch without walking. I left the main road at Stone and passed through Eccleshall to Newport, where I rejoined the main road to Wellington, Shropshire, and continued across Watling Street to Ironbridge, where I put up for the night. Tuesday, the 3rd of July. Being anxious to rejoin Mum and Dad, I lost no time in setting off this morning. I kept through to Bridge North, a real old country town, and from there took the main road through Kidderminster to Worcester, where I had my first snow fruit since leaving London. I then continued to Tewkesbury and Gloucester, whence I took the Bristol Road. I did not realise Bristol was so far from Gloucester, over 30 miles, and put up for the night at Almondsbury, about 10 miles short of Bristol. The country I've come through today was most pleasant and somewhat resembled Harts and Bucks. At Ironbridge is the first iron bridge erected in this country. I remember seeing a picture of it in Smiles' Life of Telford. It is closed to vehicular traffic, but can still be crossed on foot and is a very beautifully designed bridge. The weather this week has been getting more and more glorious as I go south. Today has been rather warm, and it seems curious now that I enjoyed sitting by the fire last week, both at Barnard Castle and Haydon Bridge. Wednesday, the 4th of July. I set off this morning at about 10 o'clock and soon reached Bristol, which is like another London. I seem to be an hour finding the Wells Road and another getting into the Mendips. The hot sunshine soon made itself apparent, and I was cussing my luck as regards weather all the way over the hills. There was a slight, oh so slight, breeze from the southwest, which did not help matters. However, I had a 3 mile drop into Wells itself, with an extensive view all the way down. I reached the city by 3 o'clock and pushed on through Glastonbury to Street, whence I took the Somerton Road to Littleton, and after inquiry, duly found Mrs. Wrench's house. It is a pretty little four-roomed country cottage in which, coupled with the pleasant surroundings, I wouldn't mind living myself. Thursday, the 5th of July. The sole of my left shoe, owing to the walking I have done during my holiday, has almost come away, so today I cycled into Glastonbury and bought a pair of shoes with crepe soles and fabric uppers, similar to those I used to wear before I bought my cycling shoes. I also called in at Street and left a couple of films to be developed and printed. The day was very hot and I spent it lounging in the garden the rest of the morning. This afternoon, Dad, Mum and I went for a walk round the hills at the back of Compton near a monument to a certain Sir Samuel Hood. The surrounding country is a lot hillier than I had supposed. I expected it to be something like Suffolk. Friday the 6th of July. I went into Somerton to order the motor car to fetch Mum and Dad from Littleton to Somerton Station on Sunday. I'm not looking forward to setting off tomorrow, especially if the wind keeps in the direction it is, east. About 11 o'clock, I set off to view the Cheddar Gorge and work my way round to Wells, where I was to meet Mum and Dad between 2 and 3 o'clock. To save time, as I thought, I went to Street and took one of the roads across the moors, some moors too, more like marshes than moors, in the direction of Shapwick, and after losing myself once or twice, I found myself at Mere, after which the road to Wedmore was easy to pick up, so that I arrived at Cheddar at 1:30. The gorge was a disappointment at its lower end, owing to the number of shops, which make it appear more like a seaside town than a country village. But further up and away from the crowd, the scenery is certainly wonderful, the only thing spoiling it being the entire absence of water, except at the bottom end. I climbed the length of the gorge and took the road along the top of the Mendips in the direction of Wells. It was broiling hot, and a strange hot breeze was coming from the east, with the result that I did not reach Wells till well after 3. I stored my bike and had dinner with Mum and Dad, after which we went to the cathedral in time to see the famous clock strike the hour of 5. I must say I was disappointed in it. The clock dial is only 6 foot 4.5 inches diameter, whereas I had thought it to be as big as one of those circular windows at Exeter Cathedral. The jack that strikes the hours and quarters was of the size I had expected, only the quarter bells seemed to have no ring left in them. The knights who joust at the hour I had expected to be in proportion to the striking jack, but the horses could not have been 2 feet long. Still, the mechanism does all I had expected of it. We left Wells at about 6 o'clock and visited the ruins of Glastonbury Abbey, which are very beautiful. It is a pity that there is not very much left of what must have been a fine building. I did 51 miles today, all told. Saturday, the 7th of July. I walked into Somerton this morning with Dad to ascertain the single fare to London, 16/9, and after due consideration both of the expense and heat and direction of wind, have decided to go home by train tomorrow. I spent most of the day sitting in the garden reading, writing and playing bézique, of which Mrs. Wrench has given me the rudiments. It is an interesting game, and though somewhat hard to follow at first, seems easier and less trying to the nerves than chess. Anyway, Dad and I are going to give it a good trial when we get back home. I cycled to Street and back to collect films and prints tonight, else that is the only cycling I did today. Saturday, the 8th of July. Another very hot day. We spent the morning packing up, and I left at 3 o'clock so that I had plenty of time to get my tickets. Mum and Dad arrived at the station by car as arranged, and we caught the local rail motor car to Castle Carey. We had thought we should have to wait here for about 2 hours, but presently a train came in, the front part of which went to Bristol, whilst the rear portion went to London. We lost the Bristol part at Frome, and after a tiresome wait of 30 minutes at Westbury, so that another express could be hitched onto the front part of the train, we made good speed, though it seldom rose above 70 mph, to Paddington, which we reached shortly after 8 o'clock. I got on the bike and rode home across London via Praed Street, Marylebone Road, Portland Place, Regent Street, Trafalgar Square, Strand, Cannon Street, Leadenhall Street, Commercial Road, etc., arriving at 9:10 p.m. So ends my second tour. I have enjoyed it immensely, and find on reckoning up that I covered 893 miles on the bike and 126 miles by train, so that I have, as I set out to do, covered 1,000 miles altogether. My ideas of the North have changed considerably, for the better, let me say, through my experiences, and I certainly wish to visit Northumberland and Durham again. Next year, I hope to see something of the West Country, though many things will happen before then that may alter my plans. My furthest north in my life was near Simonsburn, north of the Wall, which latter I hope really to see someday. And my greatest height, also in my life, was on the loneliest stretch of road between Langham Beck and St John's Chapel, over 2,000 feet above sea level. The bike behaved perfectly and suffered no damage apart from a broken spoke in the back wheel, which I discovered when oiling up last Sunday morning at Haworth. Particularly the brakes, which behave almost perfectly. Only once did I suspect burning, between Strines and Mid-Hope Stones last Monday week, when a little oil must somehow have got on the lining at the front brake. The only source of trouble was that little Pifco lamp. It developed a squeak as I came out of Derbyshire, and after I had oiled the back spring to stop the noise, it continually worked its way loose till, coming down through Bristol, it jumped off and I ran over it, smashing it. The battery had already long been exhausted by the rain getting through the ventilation hole. Friday the 13th of July. Mr. Belcher, whom I don't think I've mentioned before, is foreman painter where I work and is greatly interested in photography and all things appertaining thereto. I tried to get a camera off him, he has a friend in the trade, before I went away, but the one he was trying to get for me at the time was unavailable. Today I mentioned the matter to him again, and he is going this afternoon to try to procure it for me. Saturday the 14th of July. I had the camera on loan today to try it out over the weekend. It is a baby box by Zeiss. The speed of the shutter varies automatically with the width of the aperture. There is a direct viewfinder, and until this is fully open for use, the shutter trigger cannot be depressed. It is very small and light, and has holes in the base and side to enable it to be fitted to a tripod. Roll films are used, 16 pictures to one film. A very good model for the price, 29 shillings. I went down to South Kensington this afternoon to check up the names of the birds I saw whilst on tour, but either I did not look in the right places or was not observant, but I did not find what I wanted. Afterwards, I visited the Science Museum, but did not move much further than the entrance hall. I was studying locomotive drawings most of the time. They have a fine one of the LNER 10,000, which carries a water tube boiler. I walked back across Hyde Park and caught the train at Baker Street, arriving in time to hear a good variety, including Will Hay and his scholars. Thursday the 19th of July. The film of that small camera was developed for fourpence, and there were 15 pictures. I know I mucked up the first one through not being used to the shutter and clicking it several times to make sure. Dad has taken the film to work with him for one of his chaps to enlarge and print. The pictures have come out very well as far as can be seen, though in one or two places spots have got onto the film, probably through the presence of grit on the film rollers. Friday the 20th of July. I told Mr. Belcher this morning that we should probably be buying the camera and asked him to bring it, together with its accessories and instruction booklet, tomorrow morning, after we had seen the enlargements. Instead of which, he goes out this afternoon and buys the thing, which, I suppose, compels us to buy it off him also. The enlargements, on the whole, were very good. Some were spoilt by the movement of the camera when the view, etc., was being snapped. Two I took of windmills, one at Little Waltham and one at Turling, were overexposed, due, I think, to my using too great an opening. Otherwise, they were very good, and the lens has a very good depth of focus. One I took of young Brett standing by his machine was particularly clear. On the whole, I do not think I've struck a bad bargain. It will be 27 shillings instead of 29. Saturday the 21st of July. Paid for the camera. Stayed in all the afternoon and evening, with the exception of taking some films to be developed. Old films that have been littering the place for ages, till nobody knows exactly how old they are. They'll probably be blanks, but then only the developing will be charged if no prints are taken. Sunday the 22nd of July. I got round to Brett's house soon after 8 o'clock this morning, and as he wasn't ready, I told him I'd wait for him at Epping. He kept me waiting till 11 o'clock and made some paltry excuse about being tired or something. I had control of the route for the day and took about the miserablest one I could find. It mucked up my day completely and I little enjoyed it. I'm thankful he's going away next weekend, because on my own I can do what I like on my own. And perhaps I will give him the slip when he comes back, though I don't like to do such a thing. I'm sincerely glad I didn't tour with him. It's not that I don't like him, but... oh, I don't know. we don't agree or something's wrong somewhere. Monday the 23rd of July. Somebody has conceived the idea of a mimic aerial raid on London, so we are kept awake all night, nearly, by aeroplane engines kicking up the deuce of a row. Tuesday the 24th of July. I went round and collected the films tonight. One lot was an absolute dud. The other, we had a job to identify at first, but the repeated appearance of Uncle Sid's motorcycle made it plain that they were taken in August 1932, and they are as clear as if they were taken last week.